Listen anytime, anywhere to News Talk 1010 Toronto through your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Jerry Agar continues.
Good morning. I'm sure you've heard about or maybe you've experienced the frustration of trying to buy tickets to a real popular act through Ticketmaster, because you almost have to do it through Ticketmaster and Live Nation. And there have been investigations ongoing, and the Taylor Swift fans are freaked out, and Taylor Swift is freaked out. And there's going to be some kind of change, you would think, afoot, because there's just too much public demand. But here's an article. Everybody hates Ticketmaster. Is everyone wrong? August Brown covers pop music, the music industry, and nightlife policy at the Los Angeles Times. August Brown, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on to talk about this.
Are you in Los Angeles right now?
I am, yes.
Well, lucky you, because it's Fahrenheit. I did the conversion. It's like 2 or 3 below zero here right now.
Yeah, it's definitely nicer than that here. So sorry to say, it's as good as advertised.
All right. So I find it right at the top of your article, and I read the whole thing. I think it's really great. But you quote the former chief executive of Ticketmaster, and Fred Rosen, and he says, "I have no sympathy for people whining about high ticket prices." That's what the public wanted to hear.
Yeah, that he definitely didn't hold back about that one. And, you know, kind of beneath the bluntness of his point, I think he raised a really interesting argument about, you know, nobody complains when, you know, tickets to the Super Bowl are really expensive, or, you know, tickets to, like, the NHL championships are really expensive. And, you know, for something that's a really hot ticket, like a Taylor Swift concert, there is some connection that fans have where they expect to, you know, have an affordably priced seat to see what amounts to, like, an extremely desirable event that, you know, multiples over the amount of tickets that are possibly available could be sold to people. And, you know, that balloon's got to get squeezed somewhere. And, you know, people can, you know, have good faith disagreements about, you know, Ticketmaster, you know, squeezing fans or having really opaque fees, or, you know, just that concerts are, you know, going through inflation like everything else. But at the end of the day, you know, some ultra red hot shows like this, you know, it's got to come from somewhere, and you can either, you know, raise prices, play more shows, or, you know, prohibit resales. And that's kind of the only option if the problem is you feel like Taylor Swift tickets are too expensive.
All right, and we'll investigate some of those in the time that we have here from your article, which I really did enjoy. I learned things from it. But just take a moment here, August, and how did we get to this point where Ticketmaster Live Nation has almost monopolistic control over the big acts and venues?
Yeah, the word monopoly is something that got thrown around a lot in the Senate hearings. And, you know, in a strict sense, you know, it's definitely not a true monopoly. You know, there are, you know, other competitors. You know, AEG, you know, does perfectly good national global tours at your premier venues. There are independent promoters and other places you can go if you want to avoid Live Nation and Ticketmaster. But the problem is, for a lot of bands, they have become what's usually called like a vertical monopoly, where they control a slice of every aspect of a whole lot of given shows, where they, you know, they own Ticketmaster, they promote concerts, they own and operate venues, and they've even gotten into managing artists recently. So they're you can imagine some instances where they have control over every single aspect of a show that used to be run by, you know, 5 or 6 different companies. And, you know, in major markets, especially for big things like stadium shows, there's only so many venues you can go to that can accommodate, you know, the kind of show you want to put on. And if that happens to be a Live Nation and Ticketmaster venue, which something like 80% of the ticket market in America is Ticketmaster, you don't have that many options, even if on paper you do physically have other ones. And a lot of promoters believe that the kind of firewall that should separate Ticketmaster from Live Nation as two different entities doesn't really exist, so that both companies kind of know what the other are doing to gain a competitive advantage. And, you know, you can, the fees are very annoying, but the market power and the kind of influence that they operate in the industry is probably more salient for, you know, congressional investigators at this point.
August Brown is with me. Los Angeles Times wrote an excellent article on all of this. And one of the things that I learned from your article is part of the deal here is that, yeah, the artists could all band together and refuse to work with them. But the problem is Ticketmaster Live Nation is really good at this.
Yeah, that's Ticketmaster's power didn't come through, you know, any dark machinations. You know, back in the 80s, you know, they really did assemble probably the best, most reliable technology in the industry. And, you know, a lot of artists, you know, including ones, you know, Pearl Jam famously opposed them, but there are other ones like, you know, Green Day and Fugazi, who are, you know, pretty punk rock acts who, you know, wound up using them for their own tours back in, you know, the 80s and 90s. Because, you know, it does take infrastructure, and for really high demand shows, they provided a pretty good deal. But the big way that they were able to secure these concerts is they're pretty well capitalized, and Ticketmaster is not really in the business of even selling tickets to fans. They're in the business of cultivating venues to be the exclusive retailer. And the way they do that is they pay advances, and they pay for exclusive contracts to do so. Now, I'm sure there are arenas in Canada where they have similar arrangements. And, you know, to do that, they, you know, they pay millions and millions of dollars in advance for the right to do that. And they offered a better deal than just about anybody else in the industry. And that's why a lot of people went to them, because they paid them the most money to be able to run their ticketing. And, you know, over time, you know, they're just the most reliable bet for a lot of people. And I talked to some music managers who did, you know, stadium tours with them recently, and, you know, they kind of all agreed, like, if you're doing shows of that caliber, you know, AEG can do it, but Live Nation and Ticketmaster represent a pretty efficient all-in-one deal that's hard to say no to if you're trying to pull off a show of that caliber.
Well, another fascinating aspect of your column, August Brown, Los Angeles Times, was I'm buying the ticket, and the ticket's expensive anyway. It's costing me $300 to go see somebody big. And then, oh, now they want a $40 fee. Oh, Ticketmaster ripping me off for another $40. No, actually, the artist is getting that, and Ticketmaster's just taking the hit and being the bad boy.
Yeah, that's. I think it's something that's surprising to a lot of fans, is that all of those fees that kind of pop up in the last minute when you're trying to buy tickets, those are all known and negotiated well in advance, especially for big artists like Taylor Swift, but even down to kind of more medium-tier acts. You know, the artist sets the base price of every ticket, and, you know, the fees are all kind of arranged and guaranteed beforehand. And, you know, Live Nation and Ticketmaster are arguing to have, like, all-in pricing to kind of eliminate that last-minute sticker shock. But you know, the hard thing is, you know, the fans aren't going to be any happier when tickets are just expensive right out of the gate as opposed to at the very end. And a lot of those fees, they go back to the venue, they go back to the promoter, and sometimes they go back to the artist.
So when we first started talking about this and the high demand for tickets because Taylor Swift or whoever is only going to be in town for a night or something, I remember a time way back in the day where the Bee Gees came to Winnipeg, Manitoba, near where I lived, and they just kept adding shows until they, you know, sold it all out. And so the ticket prices never got crazy. And then I learned from your article, there are a few people who are doing that, like almost go into residence in a city until the demand runs out, which means there's never an opportunity to buy a $200 ticket and sell it for $1,500. Garth Brooks is one of those people, which doesn't surprise me because he's an innovative individual. But some of the artists don't want to do that.
Yeah, an economist I talked to described that as going Garth mode, where essentially you just kind of play until demand runs out, and then you move on to the next town like an old big top circus. And you know, for someone like Garth, where there's not a lot of kind of labor-intensive production to his shows, he just kind of shows up with a band and plays. You know, that can be a really efficient model, and he seems to really like being on the road and doing that kind of fan service dynamic, and that, you know, ensures that, you know, people are able to see him at an affordable price because he'll just keep on playing. You know, but for someone like Taylor Swift, where they're bringing, you know, tens of millions of dollars of production on the road that takes days to weeks in advance to set up at every date, you know, that can be pretty impractical. And, you know, I know someone like Zach Bryan, you know, a rising country star, has said that he's not going to be using Ticketmaster and is doing like a very purposeful, low-cost tour. So it shows that for artists that want to find creative workarounds to avoid the kind of problems that Taylor Swift has had and that maybe possibly Beyonce may have later today, you know, it does take a lot of work, and some artists have it in them to do that, and some artists don't have the time or expense or interest to do so, and it really, that format depends on the act.
Is a Beyonce concert going on sale later today?
Yeah, she announced tickets a couple of days ago. I think Beyonce is going on sale like very, very soon. Yeah.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens there and how much you know, ire and outrage gets raised there.
Yeah.
But, I would encourage you to look for this article by August Brown in the Los Angeles Times about this whole Ticketmaster Live Nation thing if you're at all interested in it. It's a great article, and I really appreciate your time here today. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Coming up, it's Touchdowns and Fumbles. Bob Reed joining me. Your vote total on the question we asked this week and his take on the communications plays of the week on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.